We're thankful that you all joined us on this Sunday morning or whenever you're watching our video. For many of you, it's on Sunday. Today, I want to talk about what it takes to be saved. The other weeks that we've been with you, I've talked about other subjects. But to me, this is the most important thing that we can deal with. And I'm going to look in Acts chapter 16 at a very popular story. Many of you will know this already. If you have your Bibles, you can take them and turn with me to Acts chapter 16. And in the 16th chapter of Acts, you'll find beginning in verse 14 and 15 where the first convert in Europe was found, a lady named Lydia. And she was in the town of Thyatira, and she was saved, and she was baptized. And then later on, there was a young lady that people were using and abusing, and it says that she was a maid who had a spirit of divination, in verse 16 of Acts 16. And she cried out when she saw Paul and Silas, and said, "These men are servants of the Most High God. They're showing us the way of salvation." Well, because of situation in that town, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison, into jail. And some of you all may have been to Israel and may have visited this place in Philippi and visited the jail where Paul was. I have not been there myself, but I've heard many people who talked about it. And so beginning in Acts 16 in verse 22, it says, "The multitude rose up together against them," being Paul and Silas. "And the authorities, the magistrates, tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison and charged the jailer to keep them safely. The jailer, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." So you get the picture of how serious this was and how badly treated Paul and Silas were. In verse 25, "At midnight that night, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself," committed suicide. He would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, and your house." And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, that is, cleansed the wounds on their body. And he was baptized, he and all of his, immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. There are many, many questions in our minds. Even little bit of children have questions, and we think sometimes of the Little children always saying, why daddy, why mama, why this? There are many questions that we have. A lot of questions in our life these days when we're dealing with COVID-19, with death and destruction, with the economic situation, so many people losing their jobs and their income, so much stress and everything, people asking questions, why all of this, how am I going to make it, how am I going to live, will I be able to survive? All the very questions, and they're very important. But I sincerely believe that the most important question in the whole world, in the whole universe, is what must I do to be saved? This is the most urgent question we can ever deal with. This story is pretty exciting, isn't it, as we read it here in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, faithful preachers of the gospel, doing the work that God has called them to do. And here they come into Philippi, into Europe, is the place where they are. And because of the condition of what took place, they were thrown into prison. And their feet were fast in the stocks, not only in the prison, but in the inner prison. You get the picture. It was a terrible place to be. And at the midnight hour, the prisoners all up and down in those cells heard Paul and Silas praying, and they heard them singing. It must have been quite a revelation to the other prisoners, and they no doubt wondered why they were able and how they were able to do that. And then an earthquake came, and that's enough to cause anybody. If you've ever been in an earthquake, it's a very upsetting, disturbing experience, and many of you have been in earthquakes. The earthquake was there. The foundation of the prison was shaken. All the cell doors were open. Boy, that was a miraculous thing. Everyone's bands, the chains were loosed that had them tied up in the cells. And so the jailer had the responsibility of making sure that no one escaped. And so when he saw the doors open, he thought, I've had it. In other words, in those days, if the jailer let anyone escape, he was probably going to be severely beaten himself, and some have said he'd be killed. He knew he was going to die as a result of letting the prisoners escape. And so that's when he takes his own knife and makes a decision, I believe I'd rather kill myself than be killed by my authorities. And so when he begins to put the knife up to his heart or to his stomach or wherever he was going to cut himself to kill himself, Paul cries out and says, stop, don't harm yourself. We're all here. None of us have escaped. We're all here. The guy couldn't believe it, so he turned on a light some way, had a torch or something, called for a light, came in and found them. And here he is before Paul and Silas, trembling in fear, not knowing what to do. And that's when he cries out, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is the only time in the Bible that you'll find that exact question. What must I do to be saved? It's an urgent question. And I believe it's the most urgent question because apart from Jesus Christ, everyone is lost. The Bible teaches this, and I believe that if we seriously consider the human situation, we would understand and feel that all are lost. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul later wrote to the church in Rome and said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody, 100%. Of the world. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, the wages of sin is death. The whole world lost in the darkness of sin. That's something that we believe, that people who are Christians have always believed because the Bible teaches it is true. It's an urgent question because apart from Jesus, all of us are lost. Secondly, it's an urgent question because we're all one breath away from eternity. This is Wednesday, the 22nd of April. And this afternoon, my brother called me from Decatur, Texas. And he said, David, I just want you to know that one of our lifelong, very, very best friends has died today. If he ever lived in North Texas, many of you may have, if you've ever lived around Decatur or Denton or all of North Texas, you probably have seen cars at James Woods Motor Company, because in Denton and Decatur and all through there, one of the biggest car dealers in that whole area of Texas. And James was a friend of ours all of our lives. And so my brother said he just got sick, had a brain bleed, and he died today. We had not expected that. My brother was crying as he called, and I wept as I talked to him. You see, life is so short, and we never know what's going to happen to us when death is going to come our way. So it's an urgent question. What must I do to be saved? It's an urgent question because nothing else will matter when we stand before God. That is the issue of life. We need to be prepared to meet the Lord. And then in the next place, it is urgent because it is to be answered personally. You'll know this jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" It was a personal question. What must I do to be saved? This is not a group salvation, although all of his household were saved. We'll notice that as we look further into the story, that it says his whole household believed and were baptized. That is, all of those within the house who could believe, who were old enough to believe, believed, were saved, and were baptized. So it's urgent because it's a personal question. You have to deal with the question and the answer, and I do as well. It is also an urgent question with a very simple answer. You saw this group sing just a moment ago. Mike Hill is our song leader. Madonna Hill is our piano player and organ player. And so this was their daughter and son-in-law and children. And all of these children have been saved. They're young. All of them have been saved, been baptized. And before we started the service, they were giving their testimony to me. "Brother David, I was saved. Yes, I was." You see, children can be saved. Salvation is very simple. It takes a childlike faith. We must believe. Recently, we baptized two little boys here at First Baptist Church in Derricks. They were young, I think about 8 or 10 years of age, but they were old enough to know they had heard about Jesus. They were convicted in their heart that they were lost and needed to be saved. And they understood from the teaching of the Bible, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." A simple plan of salvation that the oldest and the youngest as well can know Christ as their Savior. Not very long ago, I was out near the country club in Nashville. They called me out there. There was an older fella and hadn't gone to church, and his wife had and some of the family. And one of the fellows of our church said, "Come with me and let's go out and talk to this man. He's on his deathbed." And so we did that. And I leaned over that hospital bed in his little house where his family was gathered around. And I said, "Are you saved?" And he said, "No." I said, "Do you want to be saved?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "But I'm old and I haven't been to church and I haven't done all these things that I know I should have done. How can I be saved?" And I went over this plan with him. And he prayed right there in front of me, asked the Lord to come into his heart, save him. And that night he passed away. And when I did his funeral, I was able to say in my own heart and in my knowledge, he had done what it takes to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You see, belief is what is essential. Salvation is all God's doing. You can't save yourself. I realize that in some of our areas of Christianity, it almost seems like people teach that. Somehow you've got to believe, but you've also got to do something else, they say. You've got to believe, be baptized. You've got to believe, be a church member. You've got to believe, give your tithes and offerings. You've got to believe and be a good person. You've got to believe and go to church. The Bible doesn't say that. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. There's no way that you can save yourself. When I came to Christ, I was 12 years old. And I didn't know very much about anything in the world, and I didn't know very much about the Bible. I'd been in church all my life at those 12 years. But I believed then, and I believe now, that, you see, the Holy Spirit was looking for me and convicting me. And when I heard the Bible taught and the Word of God proclaimed, I felt and knew in my heart that was for me. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was saved. Salvation is in a person. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. That's not a very popular thing, but I'm talking to some of you who I hope realize that that is the truth. I noticed in New York City, in the park, Central Park, Franklin Graham's organization, Samaritan's Purse, has set up all these tents to help people who are sick and who are dying and who are in need. And of course, there have been people marching on the outside because they say, Franklin Graham, like his daddy Billy Graham, believed, why, that everybody in the world is lost and needs to be saved. And Franklin Graham and his daddy Billy Graham before that, they all believe that people of other religions need Christ and that people with no religion needs Christ. And so these protesters are saying, this person is a hindrance. He's bad news. He ought not to be here even helping out. Well, that's the way the world feels, all right. But I'm telling you, I stand alongside them because, as Billy Graham always said before he died, there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so no matter what you may believe, what you may think, the truth is found in the Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they did believe. And as a result, their life was changed. Did you see what took place? It says after Paul and Silas had spoken to them the Word of God, and I don't know what all they told them. I'm pretty sure they probably told them that Jesus was the promised Messiah, that Jesus Christ had come, that Jesus had died on the cross, been buried in the grave, been resurrected from the tomb, that he appeared unto people throughout 40 days and before he ascended back into heaven, and that he was going to come again. And they no doubt told about baptism, how important baptism was. That was a part of their initial teaching to the Philippian jailer and to his family. Because it says in verse 33, they took that same night, washed the wounds, and they were baptized at that very time. So that was a result of their believing. They did believe, and they were baptized. And this was a way, the baptism was a way, they professed their faith in Christ. This was their confession of faith, that they did believe, and they were following Jesus Christ in salvation. And they began to minister to Paul and Silas. It says they had made a meal, they set food before them, and they rejoiced. There's another sign that they were saved. They rejoiced in the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, Paul later wrote to Rome and said, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and will believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, you have to believe, and then you call upon the Lord. And a result of believing, you call upon the Lord, and you are saved. Romans 10, 9 through 13. You know, some of you listening and watching this service, it may be that you have been in church all your life, but somehow you feel that you're really not saved. Something is wrong. You're really not really a Christian. And it might surprise everyone around for you to let them know that. It may be that some of you are listening and watching. And as we've been reading this scripture and talking about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are beginning to think, I have never truly done that. I've never really believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. True believe is true commitment. And so I pray that if you feel that you are lost, and of course you are lost whether you feel it or not, all have come short of the glory of God. Everyone is without Christ. But if the Lord is speaking to you and you're feeling conviction in your heart, right where you are, you could ask the Lord to save you. Now, it's not in the asking, it is in the believing. Someone says you have to pray a sinner's prayer. Well, not really that. You pray the prayer when you believe, and if you believe and you pray the prayer and ask the Lord, but it's the believing by which you are saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Paul in Ephesians 2 says, For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast or brag about it. There's no boasting in salvation. It is by His grace and His grace alone. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, For I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul knew in whom he had believed, and a part of that believing was commitment to Christ. It was not just head knowledge. It was deeper than that. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. The jailer believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the result, I have been saved. And if you feel tonight, or wherever you are, or whenever you're watching this, why don't you do this? If you can say, I do believe in Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I am lost, and I know it. But I have heard about you, and I believe in you, and I believe that you died on the cross for me, was buried in the grave for me, arose from the dead for me. Lord, I am a sinner, and I know that. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me, Lord. Save me now. Come into my life and be my Savior. And if you mean that prayer and you prayed it from your heart, then I believe the Lord has come into your life. You see, you felt that need because the Lord was dealing with you. The Spirit was convicting you. You can't be saved without that. But when you come to Christ, when you realize who you are and who He is, you see, that is the work of God in your heart. and in your life. And I hope if you prayed that, and if you truly have believed in Christ, let us know that. Write us a letter, call us some way. I hope and pray that very soon you'll talk to someone about this. You'll need to be baptized as soon as you possibly can. So find a pastor, a church, someone, somewhere who you can talk to about following Christ in baptism. Oh, listen, there are many questions to ask, but the most important question is, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is plain. The answer is simple. It is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this simple message and for this simple plan that we find in your word. I thank you for that day when that man, we don't know his name or anything more about him, but because he asked the question and heard the answer and believed, he was saved, he was baptized, and all of his household came along and were saved also, and we rejoice in that. I pray for all of us, dear Father, in these days. I pray that, Father, you would move within our communities, within our church bodies, within our whole nation. We pray for the president. We pray for all the leaders of our country that they will help us and they'll be wise in making the decision about when to get our economy back and our people back to work and the time when we shall meet again in places of worship. Forgive us of our sins, O Lord. Please do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.